Our theme tonight is Go Stand. Go Stand, taken from verse 20 of chapter 5, this verse which we have been reading. In the first century AD, it was no easy thing to live and witness for Christ. Time and time again, God's servants were persecuted. They were quite often humiliated, imprisoned, and beaten, as we have seen from our reading. All because they were faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17, we read of the indignation of the Sadducees. That's a big word. Indignation. I looked up the dictionary to find out what this word meant. Indignation. Here's what it means. Anger. Fury. Rage. Wrath, exasperation, irritation, annoyance, vexation, resentment. Those are quite a list of meanings for this word, indignation. And all these things, the Sadducees had. And because of it, they laid their hands on the apostles. And we are told that they put them in the common prison. But while these servants of the Lord were in prison, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, verse 20, go stand. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And as these words spoken to the apostles by the exalted Lord and conveyed to the apostles by this angel of the Lord, which we want to consider this evening. You'll notice it was an angel who conveyed this message from the Lord. Angels have their ministry, and men have their ministry. The angels are ministers of God who serve him in his presence, and they wait to do the Lord's bidding. Likewise, men in Christ, filled by the Spirit, are also the servants of God. And when God asks us to do something for him, then we should make ourselves available to do his bidding also, the same as the angels. So this angel is in heaven with Christ. And the Lord looks down from heaven. He sees his apostles in trouble. And so he dispatches this angel to the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells him, open the doors to the prison and bring my people forth in safety and tell them, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So we see here that this angel does the Lord's bidding. He does what he is commanded to do. But there is something that this angel can't do. There is something that this angel can't do. Yes, he can open doors without a key. He can convey messages. But there's something he cannot do, and that is, he cannot preach the gospel. He cannot preach the gospel. This is the responsibility of sinners saved by grace. It is the responsibility of men filled with the Spirit of God. And this angel comes to such men, the apostles, and they were to fulfill this commission, this command, which the angel told them of. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So I want to look at just four very simple things about verse 20. And we're concentrating particularly on verse 20 this evening. And the first thing we want to see is the apostles' response to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ through the angel. What did the apostles do when they received this command, this commission? Verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. So what's their response? They go. They go immediately. But we're told they're to do something else. They are to go stand. What does these mean? What does these words mean? Well, the apostles are being told to go, take your stand. Go, take your stand. Be bold for me, the Lord Jesus Christ says. Don't be afraid. Jesus has told them, go, stand, speak. He has told them what to do. And he has given them the authority to preach the gospel in his name. And their response to the commission is swift. They go. And they enter into the temple, we're told in verse 21, early in the morning. They are obedient to the word they have received. But what about you and me? Are we as obedient to God's command? You see, these words, go stand, applies to you and to me. We too must take our stand. It is certainly a costly business to declare openly that you're on the Lord's side. If you speak in public about abortion, much has today has been spoken of it, about homosexuality, about the desecration of the Lord's Day. If you speak on these matters, well then you'll soon know how costly it is to take your stand for the Saviour. Of course, in other lands, it can be extremely costly. It may even cost their lives. But to bear a faithful testimony to the Lord, we must take our stand. So this commission to these apostles isn't just for first century believers. It's for you and it's for me. Chapter 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They were beaten. Now, this is unlikely to happen to you and I where we live. But these men in 1st century AD were willing to receive a beating and accepted that it was their lot for taking their stand for Christ. They were willing to accept the consequences. It didn't matter what came their way. Last time we looked at Peter and John, and they were determined to preach the gospel. Now they're getting into the wider field. They're into the rest of the apostles. And the second thing we want to see is their audacity, or audacity to speak. Verse 20 tells us they were not only to go and to stand, but they were to speak. They were to open their mouths and speak. Jesus commands them to speak, giving them this command through the angel. But man commands them to be silent. Verse 18 of chapter 4. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in chapter 5, verse 40, which we have read. They had been forbidden to speak, yet these apostles did it. Remember, they are facing the fury of the Sadducees. That indignation, all those words which describe this indignation, was being applied to the apostles at this time. They were, of course, facing the possibility of death, yet they speak. Indeed, chapter 5, verse 28 says, they filled Jerusalem with their message. They filled Jerusalem with their message. And this is the boldness we need to have in our Christian lives. This is the boldness which we need here in Loughbrickton. You see, there are voices that forbid us to speak today. Now, they're not the Sadducees, they're not the rulers, they're not the priests, some maybe not even the enemies of the gospel. But the fear of man forbids us to speak. The fear of man forbids us to speak. For we read in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. We have a fear of speaking. Why is that? Why have we this fear of speaking for the Lord? Well, there are all kinds of fear. There is another fear which gives us a false respectability. That forbids us to speak for the Lord. An inconsistent life stops us and forbids us from speaking for the Lord. Have we got these things? Well, yes, we have. We have all these things. Our lives are inconsistent. We're sinners. But this is something which we need to work upon a daily basis, that we might open our mouths and speak boldly, as the apostles did, for Christ. But what was it that gave these apostles such audacity to go stand and speak. Well, there were three things, three reasons for their courage and for their boldness. The first thing is they were filled with the Holy Spirit, which made them speak. And you and I, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit that we might speak. Acts 4, verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they must speak. They have to speak. And they do speak because they are filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not all they had. They had prayer. And they prayed for boldness, as we learn from Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They prayed. They didn't just go forth without prayer. They prayed. And this is what you and I need to do. Whenever we go forth to speak for Christ, we need to pray. As we meet people at our work or in other places, have we prayed that morning before we meet them that if we get that opportunity to speak Christ unto them, that we might be bold and open our mouths to do so? But they had something else. They had a third thing. They were determined, like Peter and John last time, which we saw. They were determined to obey God. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is what gave these men the audacity to speak and make known the Lord Jesus Christ to others. And if we wish to speak for Christ to others, these are the three things that you and I need to pray for and ask for. The third thing we want to see this evening is their audience, or their congregation. Their audience. Who was to be their audience? Who was to be their congregation? Well, verse 20 again tells us, go stand and speak in the temple to the people. To the people. This means all kinds of people. People of different social backgrounds. People of different nationalities. People of social standing. They were to preach the gospel to the common people, just as Jesus did. They were to preach to everyone, young and old, without discrimination. Wherever they found people, that was to be their congregation. It doesn't matter where you meet people. We come to church on the Sabbath day, and that's good, and we should, and we hear the word, and the word is preached on to those who come. Great. That is good news. But a lot of people don't come to church anymore. We must go forth with the gospel in our work, in our play. Wherever we meet people, they are our audience. They are our congregation. Salvation is for the whosoever will. The preacher's job is to scatter the seed, and he's to scatter it as wide as possible, taking in as many people as possible. And then we are to leave it with the Lord. We are to leave his word with the people and then with the Lord. And if it pleases God that the seed should germinate and bring forth the fruit of repentance, then praise God for another sinner saved by grace and brought into the kingdom. That is what we are to do. And this is the responsibility of these apostles in the first century. They counted it a privilege to preach. They counted it a privilege to be beaten. A privilege. How would you and I feel if we were beaten coming out of church on the Sabbath day because we had preached Christ and we had listened to the preaching of Christ? Would you be happy? Would you be happy? Would you say, Lord, I've counted a great blessing that you have thought us worthy of this punishment for your sake? Remember Peter and John, what they did in the prison? They praised God after being beaten, with the blood running out of them. They praised God. We should count it a privilege of making this glorious news of the gospel known. So we have seen the apostles' response, and we've seen their audacity to speak, and their audience, their congregation. And the fourth thing we want to see from verse 20 again is their message. Their message. What was their message? Verse 20 again tells us. It says, all the words of this life. All the words of this life. In other words, they are to tell people about new life in Christ. That is, we're to tell them about the Christian life, about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the life. They are to tell the people about the one who came to give us life. They are to tell about the one who alone is life eternal. This is the message. The angel's message from God rightly uses that little word, all. Preach the whole counsel of God. The apostles are to leave nothing out. Nothing. Doesn't matter how hard it is to preach upon. It doesn't matter how sad it might make us, how agitated it might make us. They're to preach the whole counsel of God. Praise God, we had a minister who did not shun to preach the whole counsel of God. And we need a new minister, don't we? We need a new man. We need one to take up this message in verse 20. Go, stand, speak in the temple, in the church, to the people, all the words of this life. We're looking for this man. We need to continue to look for this man until the Lord brings him to us. Our God knows this man now. He's preparing this man now. But we don't know. We don't know the Lord's will or who will be our next speaker in this place. But we need to pray. We need to pray that the Lord would lead us to this man. That as these men whom we are inviting to come week after week, that we might be drawn to one of these men. That we might feel this man fits our situation here in Lockbricton. This man can help us go and stand on the street corners. This man might be the one who can help us give out tracts, preach, teach. This is the man that we need to go stand and speak in the congregation to all the people. And what's his message to be? It's all the words of this life. Jesus Christ is life. And this is the glorious message of the saving grace of God, which poor and needy sinners in this world must hear. And there are sinners right here in Lockbricton, in our congregation, in the village, in the surrounding district. And they need to hear these words. All the words of this life. Well, are we doing it? Are we doing what we are been commanded to do? Are we telling people about this wonderful Saviour that we keep raving about week after week? We rave about it to each other, people who are born again, but do we rave about them whenever we come to someone we know fine well is outside of Christ and going to a lost eternity? Are you enjoying your Christian walk? Are you enjoying it? Do you love each day that you walk with Christ? Because sometimes, you know, we look very sad. Yes, there are times, there are things in life which can sometimes pull us down and make us sad. But they're not that often, really. They're not that often. They may seem often, but they're not really. Many days go by whenever we don't have any problems. And do we walk in the enjoyment of the Christian life? These men, through this angel, were commissioned, commanded to preach. They did it. Their response was swift. The very next morning, they were found in the temple. They had the audacity to speak when they were commanded not to, by man. They had an audience, they had a congregation, and they didn't waste their opportunity to speak. Their message was all the words of this life. In closing, let's read these verses once again. Verses 20 to 25. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. And when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." They were miraculously taken out of prison. But they were miraculously given a command, a commission, to go, stand, speak in the temple, in the congregation, in the church, to the people, all the words of this life. They did it, and they did it joyfully. They did it swiftly. And you and I should do the same. May God bless his word to all of our hearts.